Welcome to The Art of Unbecoming, a podcast for visionaries, misfits, artists, and mystics exploring the art of unlearning through spirituality. And by unlearning, I mean unraveling paradigms, belief systems, societal conditioning, or anything that we were taught to believe that's not really congruent with who we are. I believe that a spiritual, creative existence is one of unlearning and unbecoming in order to embody the highest expression of ourselves. Your dream self, your dream life, is already here. You are simply just learning to remember. I am your host, Emma Zek. Hi everyone, quick disclaimer before we get into today's episode. I am up in the mountains this week and I had some technical difficulties with the audio during this recording, and you know what, just decided to release it anyways because that's just what I wanted to do. So I hope you still are able to absorb the messages of this conversation that I have with my friend Britt, and I hope that the audio is not too distracting. We'll make sure this won't happen again. So hope y'all enjoy regardless.
Hi guys, today on The Art of Unbecoming, we have my really good friend, Britt Johnson. She is an evolutionary astrologer, writer, shadow worker, ascension guide, and community creator. She assists individuals through subconscious programming, repetitive patterns, and traumas created during their lifetime with the help of their astrological blueprint and shadow work techniques. Britt is a woman's health consultant. She is a guide and mirror for women to move back towards their own inner wisdom, sexual expression, autonomy, and intuitive gifts. Womb healing and conscious single parenting are areas of lived experience and expertise. Thank you so much for being here today, Britt.
Hi. I'm stoked.
How are you doing?
I'm good. It feels like a lot of energy is building up for sure and exciting.
Yeah, it does. I feel like yesterday and today have been those types of days for me where I feel like I've been telling you this for a few months now. This has probably just been my whole life where I feel like I go through these cycles where I'm like a tea kettle that's like boiling and about to kind of explode.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people are feeling it and they don't really know why. But now that we have the internet and social media, we can kind of see that through the popular social media posts about what's happening tomorrow. So,
yeah. Well, and also that's why we have you here interviewing today. Yeah. So I wanted to talk to you, just sort of, there's been a lot of like hype around tomorrow, around December 21st. I've read on Twitter that people think we're going to get superpowers. I've read that people think the world is going to end. I even read something the other day that said that Somebody was saying that they believe December 21st is another PSYOP and that the actual day is March 23rd, 2023. And I was just cracking up because I feel like that's just sort of the energy of what's going on. People don't really know what's going to happen or what tomorrow means. And so I would sort of, as an astrologer, love to get your intuitive opinion on this day that we're going to have tomorrow.
Yeah. And happy birthday, Eve, because your birthday is on this day. So
thank you.
It's really exciting. You know, what's happening tomorrow, the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, this grand conjunction happens every 20 years, but it hasn't happened in the sign of Aquarius in hundreds of years. So it's been in Earth signs. So we're leaving this world-dominated astrological scene of Earth and we're moving into air. So that's why we're starting a new, 200-year cycle. We're ending an epoch, which is this 100-year cycle. So we're seeing a lot of these things dismantle, as in the governmental structures that are going to be connected to the medical systems, which is connected to the school. Everything is connected. And so this is kind of signaling and sparking this new beginning, and that's what conjunctions are. So if you have any conjunctions in your chart, which you do, your moon is conjunct your Jupiter. So that's a new beginning in expanding in that energy. So I just look at it as a spark. So when a spark gets activated and in the night sky, it's going to look beautiful and it's going to look bright and big. And it's just the beginning. So it's something that's going to take a very long time to begin to rev up. It's going to take our lifetime. It's going to take the next decade to really start seeing big, significant leaps. But I feel that it's going to happen quicker than maybe it ever has before, because so many people on the planet have been awakened at one time in this lifetime, which is why I believe so many of us have come back and wanted to be human again, because we're like at this front row seat and we're playing a part in it.
And so when you say like new beginnings, and that basically I hear what you're saying, that like we're on the brink of some pretty big changes, do you have any idea of what you feel like? Obviously, I'm not asking you to predict anything, but just your intuitive opinion, what you feel like that may look like. You mentioned systems crumbling and things like that.
Well, Aquarius rules innovation, and that's technology. So, of course, that's the internet and the advance in that. That's AI. So, you know, we've talked about this before. It's kind of like understanding that it's a paradox, because it can be used as a knife is used. It can save a life or it can end one. And so we have to be conscious of technologies that are introducing themselves. And we're exiting the age of Pisces, which was more authoritarian. It was corporations looking out for themselves. It was to each their own. The age of Aquarius is also community and connection through the innovation, going back to tribal mentality, going back to unification, that we're all in this together.
That's really beautiful. So, and I even feel
so it's a huge shift. Yeah.
I even feel like that with myself. Like I have noticed, even before you like verbalized that, I noticed that like my individualistic tendencies and things like that, and the way that I relate to social media and Instagram has made like huge shifts over the past few months. And I wonder if there are a lot of people sort of feeling that way and don't really realize that that's in alignment with like astrology and with the energy that's sort of happening on the planet.
Right. And we have to be, of course, mindful, and discernment is a big word right now, of who we're listening to, because the stars and the cosmos are once again reflecting our shift in consciousness. So it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? And how we're viewing it and how we're interpreting it is going to also be from our own fears, conditionings, projections, you know, optimism, enthusiasm for what's coming. So I personally don't have tolerance for the doom and gloom of what it's going to occur, because I see that as what's going on inside that person. Because, you know, it's like when a country like the United States has a Pluto return, which is going through that, it's transformation. But how you view transformation and the death rebirth cycle is very personal. You know, it's like a woman giving birth. Mm-hmm. It looks like chaos, it looks like pain, but there's so much beauty in it. And look at what we receive, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's very important now to use our intuition and discernment and what we view is going on in the external world.
And what do you feel like with your, when you tune into your intuition and your discernment, what do you feel like you personally see happening on the planet right now?
I see a flushing out of dormant pain, fear, and all of that having to come to the surface for us to understand this more non-dualistic position in place, and learning the difference between polarity and duality, and what beauty comes from the polarization we have on the planet, but the duality that we create ourselves, which has caused a lot of pain.
And so can you explain the difference between polarity and duality? I feel like I ask you this question like every week.
Well, so this, again, this is from my perception. This is how I've downloaded it and how I've received it. Polarity is sort of this gift we're given as we come into the planet. It's how we perceive night and day, up and down, masculine, feminine. You know, we need male and we need female to procreate, but we are both. So knowing that we are both, that is duality. And duality has created a lot of pain in the separation of race and gender and use it as a tactic to separate us. Mm-hmm. So what I see flushing out is the tactics and psychological manipulation that has been occurring to divide us. And once we start raising our consciousness and awareness even more, we stop playing the game. So when it's being created in the media, we see it for what it is, and we say, no fucking way, I see you. I see what you're doing. And we came here to end this in this new age, in this new shift.
And so do you feel like, so polarity would be like day and night or black and white, like things that just are, that aren't necessarily are. Up for interpretation.
Right. The moon is the moon. It's at night. The sun is vitality. It's in the daylight. It is what it is. They are looked at as the polarities.
And yeah. Then duality would be like sort of what the human ego like assigns meaning to almost.
It's our mind. Yeah. And the younger generations coming in, the younger kids, you see so much more open and fluid with their sexuality, with their gender. You know, they're like, I'm both. And I can like all of it. And when we don't give them the freedom to do that, that's because we're stuck in our mind. We're stuck in our own duality, our programs, what's been running. Mm. And so we see the younger generation coming in and saying, I'm not going to play that game anymore.
That's really, really beautiful. And I even feel that, like, again, with myself, I love that you're saying all this, you're putting words and like you're verbalizing things that I have been feeling for a long time and just didn't necessarily like know was a reflection of what is happening on the planet. Something that you said really stuck with me. You mentioned when I asked you that, I asked you what you believe is happening on the planet right now. And you mentioned that there was like this just sort of purging of dormant pain. I feel like that's really important for folks to like sort of anchor into that, just because like we see all of this chaos and all of this crazy fucking shit that's happening and the world feels really out of control, that doesn't necessarily reflect that that is like where we're headed, you know, that reflects that like we all have this, these traumas and these wounds and these just horrible things that are kept inside of us that are now like sort of, it's like a collective vomit is happening almost, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah, that's just super important for like people to realize that just because things like look chaotic externally doesn't necessarily mean that that's like how it's going to continue. I mean, I don't know. I bet you would have some things to say to this, that things probably may continue to get a little bit worse before they get better. But that's also just like a part of this experience of human consciousness that we're having. Oftentimes that's the reality of it, you know?
Yeah. And just going a little bit more metaphysical here, going into this earth split, you know, and people who might've been seeing this come up, it's consciousness. It's not, of course, the physical earth splitting. It's our consciousness and our awareness. And we've talked about this many times on how when you start to raise your vibration, and it has nothing to do with a judgment. I mean, we've been in those places of someone we see, you know, that might not be understanding and projecting fear. I mean, we've been there. It's a reflection of ourselves. But once we start raising that awareness, we become invisible to those who are still wanting to play in that realm. So what we're going to be witnessing is still being able to play in that realm of victimhood and the world is going to shit, but there is going to be a huge divide and it's only going to get more polarized. So yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, they're going to feel that intensity because the polarization is pulling and pulling like a rubber band. So eventually we are all going to have to decide which part and which role and which earth we're going to want to play in, which dimensional shift essentially.
And do you, cause I, when you say that, like, I feel like the dimensional shifts that I see happening are like fear and separation and unity and love.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, that sounds really simple, but that's basically what is happening.
Yeah. Anytime I've ever done like a deep plant medicine or just even a deep, you know, meditation channeling, everything goes back to love. Everything, you know, and the stories we replay and replay where the pain lives, of our father, like for me, it's the father wound, and going back to all those moments and just seeing how it was love. It was love to show me my power. It was love to show me, you know, all of it. And it takes a lot of inner work to get to that place. But if we don't, we're just gonna keep being drug. And we've joked about it. It's like one foot still outside of the train and it's just getting all bloody. And so you gotta just decide, you know, to jump in all the way.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because that aligns with like a poem that I literally wrote like 2 hours ago, where I sort of have had this experience this year of observing all of this anger that I have towards my parents. And then it was sort of paradoxical, because what I was angry at them for, I was embodying within myself.
Yeah.
You know, and all of this hatred that I had for them and the way that they raised me and things that they did or didn't do, was sort of just like simmering in my body. And it wasn't until I allowed that hatred to come up and I allowed myself to experience that story of my parents fucked me up, that I was able to, again, like talking about like purging and collective vomiting, I literally had to live that story so it could come up and I could release it in order to go back to love. You know, and I feel like so many folks are experiencing that in their relationships with their families or with lovers or with friends. Like so many relationships have sort of shifted this year, because a lot of how we were relating to one another was out of fear and control and separation and coercion. It wasn't out of love at all. And so I would love for you to sort of talk about like what your journey has been in relating to other people as you sort of shifted and evolved.
Oh man, you know, and it's forever, and we'll keep stepping back into certain realms and then, okay, moving forward. Cause we still have to go and feel that feeling sometimes. And I'll catch myself, you know, I'm a Scorpio moon. I have a lot of Scorpio. So I like to sometimes play in my own chaos to see what it feels like. And going to those depths and purging that out, like what you're saying, I saw that immensely in 2020, where it came to people recognizing their codependence with relationships to the most extreme, to where it becomes so painful. And for me, that's what it's come down to from my father wound, is the codependence I've had in relationships that was just so painful that you want to crawl out of your own skin. And you literally are becoming like the cicada. And I've watched people, and I feel like a lot of us have been preparing for this time since a lot of our awakening in 2011, 2012, when a huge influx of energy came in as well, sort of setting the stage for what's happening in 2020. And for me, you know, it had to be just sitting in my own victimhood and martyrdom and pain for a decade, and then, you know, manifesting illness, and then deciding I had to change my life and stay. I couldn't stay somewhere any longer where that was occurring. And I was doing it to myself. And I think that's what's important, is we have to take ownership for ourselves, because, you know, as we know, we were victims in childhood when we had no choice. But then when we get older, we have a choice to step out of victimhood. And so that's what I saw a lot of individuals doing, and relationships ending, and then look at what this brought forth in people ending or having to leave careers too, and being pushed out, you know? And it's like, that's what happens during your Saturn return a lot, you know, that 28 to 30 year period. And really, where am I supposed to be? What did I come here for? What is my mission and purpose? And if you've been sitting somewhere, creating your own pain and chaos and turmoil is something that was not fulfilling you, and you weren't taking the leap. A lot of people were just getting clotheslined this year.
Yeah, very much so. And I mean, we can see that reflecting like with what we see happening in the world, specifically in America. So then let me ask you, what would you say to folks who are sort of feel like they're being tossed to and fro by like the media or the news or like things that are happening that are real, that are happening externally? How would you sort of explain that even though people feel victimized by things, they don't have to embody that archetype of being a victim.
If you can't go onto social media or watch the news without staying anchored in your inner authority, then you have no business being on those. It's really not complicated. Because if you can't go play in the realm and still discern, and you haven't created that level of discernment, then you're only creating dopamine hits and you're only getting pleasure from your pain by doing that. And individuals, you know, that I work with, and because of myself, because of me doing it to myself, then I can recognize it in others without judgment and only with compassion. But we are getting satisfaction from it. We're getting some form of, you know, like I said, dopamine hit. We're getting some sort of pleasure. And we have to even just have that awareness first, because every shift we make is just due to newfound awareness. And like you said earlier about the divide in the earth, you know, love and vibrational and bad pain and what we call darkness. It sounds so simple because it is. It is. It just is. And when I go to those deeper states of awareness and consciousness and tap into more of that theta state, it's like I get told from guides or my higher self, whatever you want to call it, it's like if you really understood how elementary it is, you would laugh about it. You would laugh about it. Like the level of awareness that we need just to change something, to stop creating our own pain.
And we stay
and saying that it's somebody else doing it.
Mm-hmm. And we stay in those cycles. We stay stuck in life because, at least for me, and I'm sure for so many people, it's so much easier to point fingers rather than if we realize that we truly are that fucking powerful, that we have the ability to create our reality, that comes with a type of responsibility that's kind of fucking terrifying, you know, because then if you're miserable or if you're unfulfilled or if you're unhappy, then that's on you. You know, and it's easier to just outsource that inner power that we have to other people, because then we're just a victim and then we can't control anything. And it's just, well, I didn't have a say, you know, we can just throw our hands up and fucking sit in our recliner chair and just be like, fuck it, I couldn't do anything anyway. That's a much easier space to exist in.
Absolutely. I mean, and we've played in those realms. We work with people who've played in those realms.
I'm in and out.
And it's okay. Yeah. And it's okay. Just like anger and rage is okay. But however long you sit in it is only hurting you, you know, unless, well, you know, there's also, you know, parts to that that aren't really true, because if I'm sitting in that and I'm showing my child that, then it's affecting his reality. And so it's our responsibility, especially as parents, to shift that and help our child remember who they are, not telling them who they are, but helping them remember who they are. Because so many of our children right now are really old souls coming in here to help remind us. Like this year, for example, I had a huge epiphany download understanding of my child showing me, as the school system is collapsing to restructure, that he needs to exit it because it is not benefiting him. And as a single mother, thinking about starting the unschooling process and, you know, deprogramming him and letting him pull himself to the right, it's like, oh my God. But every part of my intuition says this is right. So he showed me that. They're showing us that. So.
Wow. So I would love for you, that just made me think of so many other ways we could like take this conversation just on, I like blacked out. I was like, holy fuck. Just on the idea of like systems crumbling, that made me think, like, I would love for you, since we're on the topic now, to sort of just give your experience on the American education system and how that is a system that has not really served many people and how that is crumbling as well. And just your own research and experience with that.
Right. I mean, from the very beginning of its creation and existence, you know, we're talking like 17, 1800s of what it was created for and systematically unraveling for, you know, creating this way for us to go somewhere, to be able to be conditioned to sit for long periods of time, to compartmentalize the different things we think we need to learn. It's really more of that intellectual, analytical brain. We are not being taught how to fluctuate between the left and the right brain, right?
Hold so, on a second. The audio, do you have, or is your microphone on?
Yeah.
It is on, maybe, because I'm picking up on some feedback where it's like kind of staticky a little bit. Does your mic ever do that?
No.
I don't think it's your, I don't think it's the service because you're not like cutting out at all. It's just the audio. Oh, well.
You can move it.
I wonder. Yeah, maybe just try moving it.
Here, I'll move it over here.
Okay.
Now you will have to edit.
Okay. That's probably good for
me. What about now?
I think that's, it just, it comes in and out a little bit and it wasn't as bad before, but that just got really bad now. So I'm just afraid it's going to do it again. But if it does, then I'll just, whatever. I'll just stop you.
Well, I had it on the side of where the computer vent is and I moved it to the right.
Okay. Maybe that'll do something. Okay. Do
you want you can hear me fine, right?
I can hear you. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I'll just start it. Cool. I'll just kind of pick up.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, we're taught to have this very compartmentalizing brain and it's taught that all brains are alike and they're just not. All human bodies are different. They function differently. I mean, that goes into a whole other conversation, but to be able to move from the left and right brain consistently and be able to tap into those two aspects and hemispheres is not something we're taught. And so of course we go to school and we're taught how to be good little worker bees. And so that's conditioning us to be good little worker bees in society. So working Monday through Friday, 40 hours a week or more, 8 to 5, you have your lunch break. I mean, look at it. Look at how it's set up. And there really isn't a lot of differences between that and penitentiary. So, you know,
yeah.
And that's a whole other rabbit hole to go down to by the time a child's in second grade to look at their intellectual advancements and to statistically see the likelihood of them being incarcerated at some point. Mm. So it's just, it's there. It's there for us to look at. It's a system that hasn't changed in 100 years. Mm. We don't drive the same cars. We don't use the same type of medical equipment and technologies. So we have to really ask ourselves why we're allowing this, you know?
Yeah. And that goes back to what you were saying about how moving out of the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius is, you said it was the age of Pisces is more about like authoritarian type of rule, oh, yeah. Right? And that's directly reflected in our school system. Cause I've even thought about that for me, like when I graduated high school, I didn't know what I wanted to do at all. And I wish like my parents would have been like, you are so creative. Cause I have always written and I sang when I was little and things like that. And like, I wish my parents, but they're just a product of the system too. So this isn't me blaming them, but I wish they would have looked at me and been like, go to fucking art school or move to New York City and go to acting school or something like that. But rather like that was the system that we were so set in. We didn't even think that was, I never thought that was an option for me, you know, even though I knew I was creative and I wanted to be an artist and devote my life to self-expression in some way. I was like, well, I could never do that as a career. So why even fucking try?
Yeah. And how the school system had to shift this year and go to online. It's like, don't let that fool you. It's the same structure and it's worse. It was worse for us. They didn't know what they were doing. So we left his school. He went to an online school. We're about to exit it because it's created for individuals who are very intellectual. There are souls who come in and thrive off of that. They love that. but it's not catered to the masses. Mm-hmm. And we know that from our own schooling experience. And then, the other day I sent you that epiphany I had, and I really want to share that about being structured to almost fear the authority. So during this process, I have had to unravel what I think I can and can't do from the program. Oh, well, I can't take my kid out of this. This is what I'm supposed to do. Wrong. Every state has different laws in homeschooling, for one. In Oklahoma, people move from all over the country to come here. Because if I wanted to take my kid out of school and teach him how to ping pong professionally, there's not a damn thing they could do about it here. So it's like, know your laws, for one. Mm. But that program was running of like, well, I can't do this because this and this and this will be the consequence. And then I was like, oh my God, whenever I would go check my kid out of school and we'd have to have notes. Oh, I forgot the note to say that he went to the dentist today. Oh, he's going to be absent. Oh, that's a strike. We're creating anxiety for ourselves, for our kid. Why? Who says? Mm-hmm. I can take my kid out to go get ice cream and go take a nap at the park if I wanted to. We have the right to do these things, and yet we've been so programmed to believe in the consequence that doesn't really exist. And I do know that, you know, there are truancy laws in some places that, you know, if kids don't go, then the parents will actually be, part of the, so, you know, whatever is going to happen, and they might have to go pay a fine or even go to jail. So I know there are places like that, but that's going to end.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and also that, like,
and that's a part of this movement.
Yeah. That makes me think of like how indoctrinated we have been to like trust any authority figure, no matter what the fuck they're saying. Like, I was never in high school, because I remember that used to make me so anxious because I missed school all the fucking time because I hated it. And I would like, we had this like family doctor who would just give me notes, like even if I wasn't sick. But I was always so anxious that like they were gonna find out and I was gonna get like expelled or something like that, you know? And I think that's so interesting, because the fact that I had that like fear probably was my intuition telling me that like, this is fucking weird and I don't need to be in this system anyways. But like everybody around me is just falling in line and complying. That's what our entire country has done for generations. So who am I to question this powerful system that knows better than me, you know? And I feel like that's sort of very, very, very reflective of what is happening in society at this moment.
It is. And that's a part of the flushing to the surface.
Yeah.
Because it's always been right there. The fear comes from the programs, because we didn't come in that way. The fear of not trying new things could come from, you know, a trauma of being three and your mother being a helicopter mother and never letting you get on certain things at the playground and just testing your own limits and abilities. You know, we don't know when it begins, but you know, in our charts, we can see what we brought in Chiron and Pluto and our South Node to really address and assess. But we aren't born with that innate fear. You know, we can go do things and try new things. We're going to put things in our mouth to build up our immune system. And we're innately programmed. And our body is genius. You know, there's nothing that a human being will ever create this is more genius than this body. And I do want to add though too, in the last 100 years, we've come a long way. We have to remember that too. We've come a long way in unity, in technology, in, you know, medical advancements, because there's a place for it. We just have to take pharma out of it. We have to take the greed aspect out of it.
Yeah.
But we've come a long way. It wasn't that long ago. I think it's interesting, in time as a whole illusion in its own, but it's interesting that we think that it was such a long time ago that Black people and white people were having to, you know, be in different restaurants and share different bathrooms. They couldn't even drink out of the same water fountain. It wasn't that long ago. It was under 100 years ago. You know, like, there's a lot that's happened, and we really need to give ourselves credit for something that has been going on for 2,000 years. And then what we've done in the last 100, it's just now, it's like we've hit a peak and the intensifying residuals of what we haven't wanted to really look at. Yeah. That's just my view anyway.
No, I could totally see that. And I wonder if that's why things feel so bad now and feel so chaotic, kind of like I was mentioning at the beginning of this conversation, is because like people have been denying, or these systems have taught us to deny our intuition for so long. And there's so much covert gaslighting that has been going on for generations and things like that, and people told that they don't know what they're talking about because they're not an expert in such and such area and things like that. And as you and I both know, when you're gaslit and denied your reality that long, you go fucking batshit insane, you know? And so I feel like that just sort of intuitively came to me. Like, I wonder if that's sort of what is happening. Like, everything feels so fucking crazy right now because people are actually waking up to their intuition.
Yeah, they're waking up to listening to the hell no or fuck yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's not a maybe, and there's not an in between. And you know, it just, I don't know why this just popped into my head, but you know, movies in themselves are downloads, right? So they're like, people taking things that exist somewhere, because you can't create something that doesn't exist somewhere. I mean, if you really let that sink in, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. You know, something comes from somewhere, and it's just like whatever timeline we're pulling from. And I find that it's funny in all those movies where like aliens are coming, or like it's end of the world, or this apocalyptic stuff, there's always that one person that everyone thinks is fucking crazy, but he's always, or she's always right. Mm. And it just is the very few of the population. And when they're speaking things, they just look crazy until they don't. And so it's like, look back at the history of who we would have called a heretic at that time. And they're now people we look at as influencers and people who paved the way. Mm-hmm. But at the time when they sat in the existence and the consciousness that they had and awareness, they looked crazy. They looked reckless. They looked like, you know, who are you to say you're not a scientist or a doctor, but they were telling the truth. Mm-hmm. Because wisdom is not knowledge. Let's truly understand the difference now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that just gave me chills. And that like painted a picture in my head of like, I forget the dude's name, but you know that guy who was like a cult leader and like convinced, I think it was in like South America or something, or no, South Africa maybe, convinced this group of people to like drink this Kool-Aid that was like poisonous. I remember reading a story from that, and like there were people that tried to escape, and there were people in that cult that were like, no, you don't know what you're doing. Come back. What are you doing? Like, this is going to save us, yada, yada, yada. And that's obviously a pretty extreme example, but also not really at the same time. You know, like, I think there's so many folks right now. And I can say this because I used to align. I used to feel like I was brainwashed myself. And there's always things to unbrainwash ourselves from, right? Not to say that like I'm totally healed or anything like that, but I think there are so many folks who are very, very brainwashed right now from the media and from just the propaganda that is constantly being like a fucking fire hose, like shoved into our brains, that just don't really understand that they have a level of brainwashing that they're under. Because when you're in a cult, you don't know that you're in a cult. That's the point of it.
Nope.
You know, and that's also what's really scary.
And when you are under the amnesia that we all are, when we become human of remembering who we are, then, you know, it takes our own inner work and our own inner doing to unravel from that. Mm-hmm. And we've all somewhat been in some cognitive dissonance mindset. And it's to preserve ourselves. It's to keep ourselves safe. It's to not shape our reality. Mm-hmm. But it's only going to be more polarized. It's the way it will be. It's going to just ascend into that space. And you cannot be in a state of discernment and connected to your heart and your intuition when you're in fight or flight. You can't. That is the polarization. That is not duality created. That is just the physiological body. And when we can tap into that and work with that and know when we're in that by the awareness of in that state, and then we decide how long we stay in it, then that's when we tap into discernment. So coming back around, if you can't be that and watch the news or get on social media and you can't discern from what feels right to you or what feels right to somebody on there and what they're sharing from their own lens of reality and perception, then you need to get off.
Yeah.
Because if you just go sit still and be quiet and shut your mouth for a little bit and shut your mind off, you'll know. Like, you know, there's some things that we're just going to have to understand. We don't need anyone's permission for, and we don't need confirmation for outside of ourselves. It's like, am I going to take my kid out of school? Yes, that's going to happen. Do I need to ask my mom if it's a good idea yet to do it yet? No. Do I need to ask anybody for their opinion? No, because they're coming from their lens of reality and from their experiences. So you're only going to get what they do or don't know from a lived experience, if that makes sense.
That totally makes sense. And that reminds me of like something that I heard one time, and it's like, stop asking people for their opinion who are not living the life that you like want to be living. You know, like basically if folks are in a framework of consciousness that is not in alignment with you, why are you asking them for their opinion? And also not to say that your mom's like not in alignment with you consciously, but like, that's such a beautiful example of like you just trusting your own inner guidance and your own power. Because I'm in a space right now too, where like, I notice I ask so many people for their opinions on what I should do and where I should live and what I should fucking wear. Like, and I'm coming into a space now where like, I'm like, no, like, I want to stop doing that, not out of like a shaming place, but like, because I am that powerful and I do have the capability of actually trusting myself in decisions and not like dying, you know, because I feel like at some level, this goes so deep for me. And I know for so many other people that like, we literally don't trust ourselves so much that like, we think we're going to lead ourselves to like some death or something like that. And you know what, maybe we are leading ourselves to a death of what, like the life that we thought we wanted or the life or the person that we thought we had to be. You know, that's sort of what I've been coming, what's been coming up in my consciousness is like, I feel like I'm going through a death lately. And I've been telling my mom that, and she just keeps reminding me like, well, maybe you are, because maybe there are parts of you that do need to die, which is hard.
Absolutely. Yeah, but every time someone says that, because I too came here and it's all in my chart and showing that, I have so much Scorpio, which is just, you know, towards that. But I like to see the Phoenix rising instead, because we never die. And that whole Phoenix and the burn and the ash and then the rising, it just really says a lot of what we're doing on individual levels and then as a collective. Because it begins here first, you know, and this is Christ consciousness. That is what that means. That is creating the kingdom from our own perception, our own reality, and then experiencing that externally. And that's why, you know, you might see in individuals a lot of the Christ consciousness talk. And then also, I'll take it a little step further because I don't give a fuck, but the whole Jupiter-Saturn connection and people speaking on the Star of Bethlehem. So think about that. There could in fact have been a Jupiter Saturn conjunction when Jesus was born, whenever that might have been. It may have not really been December. And when we look into, of course, I feel the Bible is a metaphysical handbook guide just misinterpreted. You know, it's got all kinds of metaphysical stuff in it. But think about what the wise men really could have been, which were astrologers. And just, that's a whole rabbit hole. Anyone interested can go down on their own. But full circle, Saturn-Jupiter conjunction happening, Star of Bethlehem, you know? And so How, you know, I think it's funny too, when we talk about Yeshua or Jesus too, and we're talking about he's a baby and he's born. Then he's a grown ass man, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What happened to the middle of his life?
Where did that go? Anybody you know? Records from that? He was just like
walking
and doing his thing, right? But there's no like written accounts of his life during that time.
But there is. We just don't see them. Yeah. That doesn't play a value in the system. But the thing is that we assume he was born and remembered. Mm. We assume that he didn't take on and go and travel the world and create the mystery schools and find this divine feminine Mary Magdalene, you know what I mean? And create that and remember that as he's raising his own vibration. Mm. So we all have to do that in our lives too. We're born into the threshold of not remembering who we are, to go through the contrast of pain, to remember who we are, to choose to take the leap, to choose to create our own awareness and our own awakenings, discern, tap into our own intuition and gifts and purpose, and then transcend. Mm. So we don't have to die and leave our physical bodies to do that, because it's consciousness. Mm. And I don't know why I just, you know, spoke so much about Yeshua and Jesus, but I felt Mary Magdalene presence with me all of 2020.
Wow.
And that we're all walking in to the divine feminine of whether you are male or female, gender wise.
Wow.
It's all in us. And the masculine for us. I am a person who's really been in my masculine a lot, so I'm practicing softening.
Yeah.
But it has served me to be in my masculine, to create boundaries this year and let people leave and let my truth be heard and let my voice speak at the vibration in which I have found to be my home.
Damn, that's so fucking powerful. I resonate with that so much because I feel like we always joke that like we're the type of women that like would walk into a room and be like, what's up? We always talk about that because we both have like very deep voices, and I think it's amazing. And I've always like been really frustrated with that part of myself because I haven't felt feminine, and I typically wear, not that it has anything to do with clothes, but this is just my ego, like I'm like I literally own like two pairs of heels, shit like that, that has been frustrated with me, has really frustrated me. And looking back, I have so much compassion for that, those younger parts of me that had to be in their masculine so much, because I was abused, you know, and I was around men who were not safe and who were, had a lot of leaky sexual energy and all of this shit that I'll get into on this podcast. But I had to be in my masculine because it protected me.
Survival.
And so I too, am shifting into a space now where like I do, my masculine does still protect me, but it's from a conscious place, not an unconscious, like I'm just reacting, you know, like my masculine can protect me by setting boundaries and by saying, no, I won't accept that in my space, not like just unconsciously reacting to somebody and like ghosting someone or something like that, you know? So it's sort of, for me, it's been about like sort of repurposing my masculine energy and just learning to have compassion for those younger parts of myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have a very similar childhood. So protecting and putting the armor. I mean, that's why Joan of Arc, I mean, I have a picture of her over here by my desk because she's one of my archetypes, you know? And I've really had to soften more into the Mary Magdalene that's entered, or Kuan Yin, you know, or Aphrodite, because on the outside, when people see me and they're like, oh, that's very feminine. When you get to know me, or if you like, for example, I don't really get it a lot. We talked about this, but on like social media, you know, I won't even get DMs or things that are inappropriate, because I feel like I just put that energy out. Like, don't even come at me with that shit. It's interesting to, you know, tap into my masculine for that, to know that it's serving me in that way, to put up that boundary and that barrier. But I also know, in stemming from just not feeling safe and creating that safety, that in situations, whether they're with male or female, which I've really gotten a lot of really awesome male friends, that it just has so much boundary and I feel safe. I will be vulnerable. I will soften. So the exterior is very feminine, but if you come at me wrong, especially on social media, if you don't know me, they're like, my last partner, he was just like, oh yeah, they've at least had to drop their balls down to a certain length to be able to come at. Literally, that's what he said. I was like, and you're welcome.
Oh, thank you very much. That is correct, motherfuckers.
Yeah, because he was like very much so a lot in his feminine. So I was showing him his masculine. He was showing me back my feminine. And that's why it's really important for us all to understand it has nothing to do with the body parts you obtain, you know? And you and I, we had to protect ourselves in our childhood. We were the child, you know, metaphorical punching bag of emotion and the little child psychologist that had to hear too much information from our parents of their own private lives.
I literally just got a vision of myself in like a fucking white collared shirt, like sitting there with my legs crossed, like counseling my parents.
I literally was doing that.
I was right there with you. Yep. Which, you know what? We're here now because we had to go through that. So, I wanted to sort of touch on the masculine and feminine energies that I have noticed within myself. Like, again, like I talked about how I sort of really resisted that part of myself and I hold a lot of shame for being so quote unquote masculine for so long. I have noticed as I've gotten older that when I am in spaces that I feel safe and with men that I feel seen and nurtured and held by, my feminine like sort of just naturally comes out. You know, I think it's a good indicator, at least for me, like if I feel overly masculine, specifically around a man, it's because I don't feel safe with him, you know? And I think that there are so many women who like sort of feel, women who know this language, who feel shame for that because they're like, I don't feel safe surrendering, or I don't feel safe being in my feminine. And I'm like, well, that's not, in my opinion, something you can really force, you know? It's sort of something that happens as a byproduct of safety.
Absolutely. Yeah. I saw this quote, I think it said something like, when a man enters his divine masculine, then it will allow for the woman to enter her divine feminine. And we don't really have to look at this as gender, but you know, I like men, so I'm coming from that angle and I'll speak on that. But for me, that rings true because the people I've been with, they weren't tapped into their own divine masculine yet. So it wasn't really giving me permission to do the same in safety for my feminine. And so I saw where I would tap into that divine feminine, but I would only use it in a sexual way. In a more like shadow side of my Venetian way. And I found that power in that. And I thought that was my femininity, but it was just a mask over, once again, utilizing some of that masculine of me. So I thought my sexuality was being birthed and my sexuality was coming to the surface in my feminine because I learned to love my body. I learned to be okay naked, start to love that very, very feminine softening, you know. But then when it came to sex and my sexuality, and then I started acquiring the tools of Tantra, I noticed where I was swerving over and starting to use that, and it was masculine pretending to be feminine.
Wow. Yeah, I totally resonate with that. I too have aligned with like the archetype of like the seductress and things like that, and for a while that did make me feel really powerful because it was a way that I could control and manipulate and feel like I'm dominating a man, and how like I said, men have so badly hurt me in the past. Like, that made me feel really fucking, like, made me feel like a badass, you know? Mm-hmm. But then there came a point for me where there was sort of a shift where I was like, this is starting to make me feel yucky. And like, I don't like being in this energy. And knowing that I can seduce a man, like, yeah, that's cool. But also, like, when you experience the just the level of safety that I believe is conducive to really supportive, nurturing, conscious relationships, like, you don't even want to go back and play with that shit anymore, you know, because nothing compares to that safety that you experience.
And a man tapped into that won't allow you to do it. Mm-hmm. Because they'll gently and kindly, with compassion, call you out on it. Mm-hmm. And anyone, I mean, I don't know if anyone I've ever been in a relationship will listen to this, but they will know, though, that, oh yeah, she was the masculine in there. As soon as the clothes came off, I was like, if I could pick you up, I would.
That's,
you know?
So funny.
And so we have to tap into a lot of 2018, 19, 20 was really pulling to the surface toxic masculine, which I don't really like that word because I think that's ridiculous. But it was not really coming from a place of knowing of what the shadow feminine is. There's a role that we're playing in that in ourselves. Mm. And it doesn't mean that it's conscious, but you can't say one hasn't been playing in the realm of toxicity if you can't say the other has been as well.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, my perception alone. Some people might disagree, but I see toxic femininity around all the time. Yeah. Because I've done it and I can recognize it.
Yep. And so you have the authority to speak on that because you've actually embodied it. And I'm totally the same. Oops.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted to, just to sort of close this out, ask you two more questions. The first one is, what, as an astrologer and as like a woman who knows sort of what's happening, like, cosmically, or, you know, the template for what could happen cosmically, what would you offer as sort of like just a little note of hope for people going into 2021?
I feel it's all hope. I feel it's, my word for 2021 is initiation. Mm. And so I feel we are initiating ourselves into a new era, a new paradigm, a new age, whatever word you want to call it. And the initiation is a part of our own doing. We initiate ourselves into our awakening. We initiate ourselves to go to the plant medicine ceremony, to step into our masculine and our feminine in a more balanced way. Mm. Only you can initiate yourself into that threshold. So the hope is going to come from within you of what you want to occur. Again, because it's not external. If this happens, I'll be happy. If this thing unfolds, but use your discernment. Use your discernment of what's unfolding and how you feel on a daily basis and whether or not you should turn the damn media off. And, you know, in the next, I would say the next 5 years, that's going to change dramatically anyways. And this is the only thing I'll say about this, but there's a reason why the social media formats today, the day before the grand conjunction of winter solstice or summer solstice happened. Mm-hmm. That is not new. That's been going on, but it's being flushed out because they're in some hot water and it's these, you know. So that's the thing, is that sometimes we have to just be like, okay, what's really going on? And we're being distracted over here. Mm-hmm. So I say that it's all hope.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting too, that of course they would do it on the 20th, because, you know, these people know astrology.
Absolutely. You know, I love the saying that millionaires don't know astrology, billionaires do.
Damn, Jesus Christ. Oh, okay. Last thing, Britt, what is the biggest thing in your life that you feel you have had to unlearn thus far?
Yeah, it's, I thought about this and I'm thinking, yeah, it's still the same. And what I was going to speak about, which is just unbecoming from needing the external masculine, the external man by my side for my own accomplishments, for my own feelings of being wanted, from accepting of all parts of myself and not having to have someone mirror it back to me. And I know that unbecoming of that, of what I felt that I needed in partnership outside of me, and how that has led me to where I'm at, the relationships that had to end that gave me so much joy, bliss, you know, and also pain, was all to lead me to now. And I wouldn't have been ready for that type of relationship that I truly wanted, that I truly was seeking. So I had to first unwind and let myself free of needing it.
I love that.
So that's it.
Oh, thank you so much. Awesome. Well, let us know, or let the people that are listening know where they can find you, your social media platforms, website, anything like that. And then anything that you have coming up that you would sort of love to promote on here.
Instagram, it's at Venus_rising_. And my website's Britt, BRITT-Johnson.com. And I would just say, for, you know, my expertise is evolutionary astrology and shadow work. I don't do one without the other at this point. And women's integrative wellness. So I'm a doula. So birthing, that's a whole other topic we'll one day talk about, I'm sure. And just getting back to the rhythms and cycles of the natural world as a woman, and womb healing, because we store so much of our trauma and pain in that space. And that is what I know that I'm here for. And that's my mission. And I did it for myself. And now, you know, being prepared to help other people who the fuck are too.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Britt, for being on. It was so lovely talking to you.